Buccaneers fans, Black Friday starts now at Bill Curry Ford. Get an Amazon gift card up to $1,000 with every new vehicle purchase or lease at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com is the website. See all the tremendous offers right there. BillCurryFord.com. Proud presenters of the Scuttlebucks and the Ira Kaufman podcast at JoeBucksFan.com.
It's inexplicable. It's a conundrum. So I don't care which bathroom he's using. You got to educate and illuminate and entertain. I think he's a buffoon. Yay.
Bucks fans, episode 2 of this week. We are fired up on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by the awesomeness of Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. General Manager Sean Sullivan is fired up to help Bucks fans anytime, anywhere, in any way, for anything that you have regarding your automotive needs. And of course, they have the best deals in town. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, remember, I gave you some homework for today, and I've got a whole list of things for you. But first, how are you?
Guys, it's always a little bit dangerous to speak for Buck Nation, fraught with danger. But I'm going to be presumptuous here, and I'm going to speak for every Buck fan that's out there, including Sean Sullivan, and maybe most specifically Sean Sullivan, in saying this. Gentlemen, we are a few days away from what is obviously the biggest game of the season, the rematch with the Saints. If you have any designs on ending their 3-year run atop the NFC South, you don't want to get swept by this division opponent. Otherwise, you're behind the eight ball the whole rest of the second half of the season trying to catch the Saints, who are now getting Michael Thomas back, and that might really help them going down the stretch. Somehow, they've stumbled their way to 5 wins in 7 games. I don't know how the heck Sean Payton's done it. I think he's done a fantastic coaching job. Kamara's got the team on his back. He's an MVP candidate. But Lee, I speak for Buck Nation right now in saying the Bucks are going to be absolutely ready for this game. I think the only problem, you're not worried about coming out flat. You're worried about getting too excited, because I think half the Buck players had the Saints on their mind Monday night. At least I hope so for that flat performance. Lee, I think the Bucks match up very well in this rematch. Special teams have been straightened out. I don't expect them to muff a punt at their own 20-yard line. And yes, I'm throwing it out there again, gentlemen. Perhaps Antonio Brown will be catching those punts from Thomas Morstead. I'll stand by it, gentlemen. But this will be one heck of a game, and I think the Bucks are more than ready. Although, Lee, that injury report, it's a little bit troubling to me right now.
Brace yourself. Here comes Debbie Downer. Typical Lee.
Let me have it.
That Giants game spooked me. Spooked me big time. If you're struggling against Danny Dimes, good grief. And it's the first time they struggled against him either. And I firmly believe the predicted demise of Drew Brees is grossly exaggerated. If this guy can't throw downfield like everybody's talking about, how come he keeps winning? How come he keeps putting his offense in position to win? How come he keeps scoring points? Come on. I was listening to Peter Schrager today on NFL Network. I love Peter Schrager. He says the offense is clicking on all cylinders. I don't know what offense he's watching, but when a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver by the name of Mike Evans has as low stats as he has, that's not clicking. Until otherwise proven, and largely this is thanks to that Monday night debacle, until otherwise proven, the Saints are the team to beat in the division. That doesn't mean the Bucks can't, but I'm a burning bush kind of guy. I want the Bucks to burn that bush to prove that they are the elite in the division. I mean, I hate to be repetitive, but that really has me freaked out, that Monday night game.
Well, let me present the other side to Mr. Risbit. Steve, I believe the Buck defense will be on the hunt Sunday evening. I think they're going to unleash the hounds. And you have to understand, what does Breeze do? He carves you up with the short passes, the little 8-yard swing passes to Kamara, a little, 11-yarder to Jared Cook. He doesn't go downfield. Steve, I believe Carlton Davis will shadow Michael Thomas And for those who say, well, he can't handle Michael Thomas, generally I would say that's true. But he handled him in the first week before Thomas got hurt. He was doing absolutely nothing against the Bucks. They did a good job on Kamara. Forget about the two touchdowns. He had 67 total yards from scrimmage. And if you've been following Kamara, the guy averages about, you know, 150 yards from scrimmage. The guy's incredible. And the Bucks handled him. So I think the Buck defense will be the deciding factor in this game. I just think Bowles is honed in on what the Saints can do well. What they do well, they do very well, Steve. I think I like the Bucks in this matchup.
Few things there. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. The Burning Bush guy is Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com. And Sage, I have to point out something you mentioned earlier, because I threw a few things in between here and just finished cleaning up. You said that the Saints have stumbled their way through. They're averaging 29.5 points a game, Ira. 29.5 points. Well, stumble? What's going on here?
Steve, every time I look around, they're winning by 3 points. Final score, 3 points. That's what I'm talking about.
I understand. I think the point is that the Buccaneers, who are averaging more than 30 points a game, I believe it's 30.5, they, like the Saints, haven't been playing their best football, but they keep winning. And that's what makes this game so interesting, is that the Saints have stumbled their way to 29.5 points a game without Emmanuel Sanders, who missed the last two games with the virus. Michael Thomas hasn't played since opening day. And I was looking a couple of things up, Ira. The Bears defense, which we all know is very good, they still couldn't hold the Saints down without all the weapons. Nine of the first 11 plays that the Saints ran, they all went to Kamara and Latavius Murray, and like two-thirds of everything went to those guys and Taysom Hill. So the Bears knew what was coming. They just couldn't stop it. It's a very interesting matchup. Sanders is supposed to be back, Ira. Michael Thomas, that's unclear. But Sanders talked about having the virus, being sick, being nauseous, being loopy, being in pain, and now he's coming back. I don't know what to expect from him, which makes it more interesting.
I think the Bucs have been looking at this game for weeks, and now the day of payback has arrived, Lee, and I don't think they're going to let it go without taking full advantage. Look, I'm not knocking the Saints. He's right. Somehow they're getting 29 points a game. I mean, what a testament to Sean Payton as an offensive mind. I think he is the great offensive mind of the National Football League. I can't argue that, Lee. I can't. Ever since him and Breeze have been together, the cast changes around them, but they're always in the top five in total offense, Lee, every freaking year for 15 years. I mean, that is so impressive. So I'm not taking anything away from that Breeze-Payton tandem. I think it's the greatest we've ever seen in the NFL from a coach QB perspective. And yes, I think more so than Belichick and Brady, because Belichick's a defensive coach. So yeah, they present problems. But Breeze is not the Breeze when he was 30 years old. The Buck defense, I think, Lee, was embarrassed in great part on Monday night. You and I are in agreement on that, especially in the first half. Humiliated, embarrassed, couldn't believe what the Giants were doing. The Giants, who have no weapon. And here come the Saints with Kamara. I think the Buck defense bounces back in a big way, swarms them like they did Aaron Rodgers at home, and go to 4-0 at home, Lee. We ain't seen 4-0 at home since Chucky was prowling the sidelines in 08. How do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why we call it the Dinner Depression. They have the worst home record in the post-Chucky era in the NFC. And that's also part of the reason why a lot of Bucks fans, when they saw Monday night's game, they expected a loss, because this team has a well-entrenched reputation for losing. Who's not loving the winning here? You know, who's not loving it? I'm loving it. But we also remember the last 12 years. And there's a lot of people like me, they're still in the prove it mode. By the way, I want to expand on what Steve had said earlier. Steve was talking about how good the Bears defense is, and the Saints, they still couldn't stop the Saints. To my point, you know, everybody says, oh, Breeze can't throw downfield anymore. Well, why didn't a good defense like the Bears take away the short game and force them to throw a long? Maybe, just maybe, he still can throw long. Otherwise, that would have happened. So I don't buy that Breeze can't throw long anymore. Breeze is done, because, ta-da, I haven't seen it.
Ira, we've been telling Buccaneers fans for months that their first call, their first phone call 24/7 whenever it happens is to Florida's Elite Restoration. If they see any issue in their home with water that doesn't belong there or mold that's growing, mold that's appeared under the sink, you come home after a couple of days away and all of a sudden you've got a problem, that's who you call. Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned, right here in the Bay Area, but not too small where they can't cover you and take care of you all across the Tampa Bay area, any disaster, but they are mold remediation specialists. They're licensed. And before you call your insurance company, you call them. They're going to respond 24/7, and you're going to get an honest, clean, free assessment as to what's happening.
You know, Steve, this hits home literally and figuratively because we're doing some remodeling, and the biggest project here is we took the bathtub out and doing a walk-in shower, and about halfway through the project, we had to get a guy from the county to do an inspection, and the main thing that the guy was looking at was to see if there was any mold involved in the plumbing operation. Thankfully, he signed off and said everything looked good, but that's how important it is to make sure that there's no mold going on anywhere, Steve, in your house. Florida's Elite Restoration will come out. No obligation analysis. They're honest. They'll give you a full assessment. It could be very well be something minor. But if it's not, you need to take care of it immediately. And Florida's Elite Restoration, Steve, is the way to go.
Good point, Ira. And that can come into play if you're trying to sell a home or a condo and you thought you had mold 5 years ago, but you sort of blew it off and nothing happened. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's the website. Bookmark it. They're going to help you out when you need it. And maybe even when you don't think you need it. Florida's Elite Restoration. All right, Sage. Now, at the last podcast, I told fans that we would continue our Joe Bucks fan tradition, which has been on this podcast, to look at the front office at the midway point of the season. Right? Because you can't really judge these guys that early. I mean, you can because you have to and you have some fun, but in the middle of a season, three games in, it's hard to give a good assessment. But we're halfway through, and I want to run down this list for you and get your sage wisdom. The Buccaneers in the offseason, they added Antoine Winfield, Tristan Wirfs, Tyler Johnson out of the draft, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Joe Haig, Jaden Mickens, Tom Brady, Steve McClendon since then, and of course they re-signed JPP and Sue and slapped the franchise tag on Shaq Barrett. I mean, I don't think, Lee's written a few times, it's almost like a career resume for what a general manager all in one offseason. What are your thoughts right now, Ira? And, you know, of course there are some non-moves that were made, you know, decisions to keep guys or to not go after certain guys. What is your overall look at what the front office has done?
Well, guys, I think it's obvious that everything was set in motion after Brady came aboard in mid-March. There's no question about it. Once you got Brady, your philosophy was set. All in. It's all about 2020 and 2021. Damn the future. I mean, that's obvious. He set the tone for the template for what this team wanted to accomplish. Long range, to hell with it. Short range, we want the Vince Lombardi trophy, and we want it now. So that leads to Gronkowski. That leads directly to Fournette. Those things don't happen without Brady. There's no question about it. You're not getting Gronkowski with Jameis Winston under center, nor are you pursuing him at all. So he comes in, you're probably not getting Fournette here after you say that Rojo's the man, but he still comes here. Well, Brady's leaning on him, so he shows up. Maybe they don't re-sign Sue. Everything was put in motion by Brady. Steve, that is a very accomplished list that you mentioned. And you add in the draft, which looks very, very good at this point. Lee, I believe Winfield is a legitimate candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year, punctuated by that 2-point saving play he made. Was it pass interference? I don't think it was. I think it was just a very good play by a very smart young player. Wirfs, we don't hear word one about. I think that's a beautiful thing for a rookie tackle. Tyler Johnson's coming on a little bit. We'll see if that's stunted by Antonio Brown. So, Lee, what I'm saying, all in all, was you got to give him an A across the board, but I'm dropping him to an A minus, Lee. I'm dropping him to an A minus on the front office because I still think Antonio Brown was a move that was not necessary and that is still fraught with a little bit of danger. I don't think they needed it. They didn't know Godwin was going to break his finger. They didn't know that 2 days later. So don't give me this Godwin nonsense. And Evans, you know, by all accounts, is almost 100%. And Tyler Johnson's coming on and Gronkowski's emerging. So I didn't see the big need. I still don't. Brown has every chance to prove me wrong, Lee. I don't care that he's staying in Brady's house. I don't care which bathroom he's using at Jeter's mansion. But I don't believe that this guy can change his stripes in mid-career. He's got a long history of being a problem. And if you're a problem for Mike Tomlin and Belichick and Gruden, who's to say it's going to be any different with Arians? I'm still giving him an A-. Take a bow, gentlemen. That means you, Mr. Light. That means you, Mr. Greenberg, Spytek, Arians, all of you. A-minus ain't too shabby, but Lee, I can't go with the A because this Brown thing's still bugging me.
I strategically left off that list Ryan Succop. I also strategically left off LeSean McCoy and Keyshawn Vaughn, both of whom have contributed. Vaughn caught a touchdown, and he's looked good when he's been in there the limited time. So throw in those three contributors, and I'm going to say McCoy has contributed a lot to the maturation of Ronald Jones. Still an A-.
Look, I'll give you a suck up because you're right. You left him out, and that was another master stroke. Finally, Light got that right. He got it right, and it's paid big dividends because the guy does not miss inside the 40. He just doesn't, and I don't care that he's not that great on a 57-yarder. I don't care. But they have solved a big problem over there. I think you're stretching this thing with McCoy. I think he's been a very minimal factor. Who was that last guy you met? Oh, Keyshawn Vaughn. Come on, Steve. Now, don't go there. You know, you're trying to get me to go from an A-plus to an A. I'm going from an A to an A-. Lee, I'm sticking with the A-. It's a hell of a grade. So I got an A-, Mr. DeKemper. Now, you're the burning bush man. So if you go A, I'm going to be a little shocked.
Get ready to be shocked. Absolutely an A. Absolutely. I mean, how could you not give Light anything but an A? You know, as Steve mentioned, I've written this a couple times in passing on JoeBucksFan.com. What Light has accomplished in one offseason, some GMs haven't accomplished in a career. I mean, look at what he's done this past year. You know, and I give you that, you know, this is all in, and it's easier to build a team when you're all in for 1 year. And to hell with the future. But getting Brady, that was square one. And then you said it perfectly, Ira. That was the linchpin, I guess you could say. Let's put it this way. I'm not confident at all JPP and Sue are on the Bucks if Jameis is still here. And I'm a Jameis guy. I'm not unhappy, by the way, Brady is here. Some people, oh, you're upset because Jameis isn't here. Yeah, I'm bummed out Jameis isn't here. But I'm not bummed out that Brady's here. So don't misunderstand. I don't believe that JPP's here. I don't believe that Sue's here, James is here. I really don't. I do not. And it all starts, as you stated, Gronkowski's not here if James is here. Brown's not here. And Brown, to me, until proven otherwise, you know, I'll swallow the PR front. Oh, I'm a changed man. I'm soft-spoken. By the way, Ivor, just for entertainment, watch clips of Brown's press conference and watch clips on YouTube of Brown going berserk with the Raiders. I mean, it's almost like two different people. I really don't know if that was an act yesterday or not.
He was very subdued and humble.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, I don't know how you can't give White an A just for the fact that he found a kicker and made kicking boring. Isn't that fantastic? Kicking's now boring with the Bucks. You can actually get up and go get a beer. Finally. So, I mean, just for the kicker alone, just for suck up alone, Light should get a B+. Everything else is icing on the cake. He absolutely gets an A. I don't know how you could say otherwise.
Hold on. We use the word linchpin. Good word, DeKemper. I didn't know you tossed around those fancy words. Very nicely done. So, Mr. Isbitz, I put this to you right now. If Brady's the linchpin, which he is, and everything followed after the Brady signing. We can't give Light the credit for the Brady signing, is, but we're not going to go there. He made it happen once it was decided that Brady was coming, work out the details in Greenberg, figure out the numbers and this and that. But, Steve, are we giving Light the credit for bringing Brady to Tampa?
It's a wonderful hypothetical, Ira, but you can't grade somebody on what didn't happen. I mean, you know, how do you do that? First, Ira, and I know what you're saying, and I'm going to address it, Sage. First, you mentioned the phrase master stroke regarding the signing of Ryan Suckup. I originally thought, gosh, that's what Bucks fans used to have when the previous kickers would step to the ball, was a master stroke. You know, and Antonio Brown yesterday watching his news conference, Ira, it reminded me when you go to your favorite diner in Newport Richey, Ira, and they serve you a Reuben and it's missing the coleslaw and you've got no sauerkraut on there and no Russian dressing. You're humbled. You're a man who's humbled. So that's what it reminded me of. But in all seriousness, Ira.
Well, Steve, what I do at that point is call the waiter over and say, I'm not paying for this. Take it off the check. That's what I do. To each his own. To each his own, Steve.
I'm talking about the initial reaction when you realize it's not there. You're humbled. You're humbled. So as far as grading Jason Light and the front office, I can't separate not signing Tom Brady. I get it. You can't give Jason Light credit for signing Tom Brady. I mean, it's just kind of goofy. Tom Brady wanted to play here. Arians wanted him. And, you know, that's what general managers do. But everything else surrounding that is the bigger picture. And I got one question for Lee before I throw my own grade out. Lee, if the Buccaneers lost on Monday to the Giants, if they lost that game, do you still give Light an A?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he got the pieces.
That's the thing, Ira. It's a tough balance grading a front office versus the record versus everything else. And, of course, they have to be graded a bit on the coaching staff and the broader picture. But at 6-2, I find it hard to not give Light an A. I really find it hard, Ira, but I'm going to go with you.
Steve, what about your qualms of about Mr. Antonio Brown, Steven?
I'm going to go with a combination of the unnecessary risk of Antonio Brown combined with the, in my opinion, unnecessary risk of not having a better backup quarterback in here.
That's a good one, too. That's
and,
right.
That's an Arians thing. That's not a Light deal. That's Arians.
Well, I got, like, I mean, you could start picking and choosing. Certain things might not have been Light's decision or power anyway. So the overall, if we're looking at Light as a figure, I also got to wag a finger a little bit at the depth at cornerback. I think it could be better. We're watching two corners right now, Dean and Murphy Bunting, not playing that well as far as the championship kind of level, and that's the goal, to build this team. We're seeing one guy took a big step forward, and another two guys, we're not so sure if they took a step forward. And so I would have liked to see another cornerback piece, because the thought of Ryan Smith in a big December game scares me. So I'm going to stick with that A-minus, mostly, though, because of the Antonio Brown risk, Ira.
So you're right there with me, Steven, at A-minus.
I am.
For, you know, I could just hear some of the Buck faithful saying, you know, boy, I'm sure glad I didn't have teachers like Isbitz and Kaufman when I was in high school. You guys are brutal. Lee, A-minus is a hell of a grade, considering what kind of slop's been served up here at One Buck Place for a long, long time. Bad drafts, bad free agent signings, bad decisions. A-minus means, you know, that's a playoff grade. And perhaps more, and it all happened after little Tommy Boy came aboard. Lee, everything followed suit naturally, and here they are at 6-2, so we got to enjoy what we got right here in front of us.
Well, I'm going to hammer you here a little bit, Mr. Kaufman. You know, Steve set out the parameters. You can't give a GM a grade after 3 games, so you have to wait to 8 games, half the season. And you're grading Light on Antonio Brown, who, to the best of my knowledge, hasn't taken a snap with the Bucks yet.
Well, Isbitz brought up a point, which I think is enough to knock you down from A to A-minus, Lee, and I got to give Steve credit because I forgot it in my analysis, but Lee, and you're not going to defend this. Lee, you're not going to defend this. I got two words, Lee. Blaine Gabbert. Now, look, a lot of teams don't have good backups. I understand. They're hard to find. But, Lee, in a season when all your chips are on the middle of the table, you got to cover all your bases, and that's one that they left that base totally uncovered. This love affair, it reminds me of this love affair between Brady and Brown. The love affair between Arians and Gabbert, it's inexplicable. It's a conundrum. How do you like that one, DeKemper? They played maybe five games together in Arizona. They weren't great games to begin with. He understands the offense. I mean, you know, what is this, Rubik's Cube? You can't have a better backup that can come in and grasp the fundamentals of an Arians Leftwich offense. Now, come on. Brady's 43. Thank God he's healthy, but there's no guarantee Lee going forward. So what about that backup situation? Isn't that enough to knock him down a peg over there, Mr. DeKemper?
I'll go with Steve. I'm more concerned about the cornerback depth than I am quarterback depth.
All right.
A quarterback can still just hand the ball off. If you got a lousy cornerback, he's only getting lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, we've all seen that how many times over the past last decade.
Well, what we're all saying is it's a new day over here for the Bucs front office. They've done a marvelous job, whether it's an A-minus, fantastic job. And the proof is that they're 6-2. If they were 4-4, we ain't handing out A's and A-minuses. So very, very nice job, gentlemen. And I mean you, Greenberg, you, Spytek, whoever else is around, Light. Arians is a big factor, of course. You know, maybe even a little Tom Moore thrown in. Tom Moore's got Arians' ear. He's got a big voice in that room, even though he's a quiet man. So, all in all, hell of a job, Steve. Hell of a job.
Ira Lee, I think this is an important question. As I thought about it, I've talked about this with my kids before, and I think this is an important question. Sage, when you were in Brooklyn in high school, it's 1951, you're in high school, and you're getting your grades.
And I'm carrying the tough guy's books. Up three flights of stairs. Yeah, I understand.
Exactly. Big PD's got you working for him. And Ira, here's the situation. When you get a number grade on your test, what's an A? I mean, back in Brooklyn, what was an A? 90 and up? 93
yeah,
and above?
90 and up. 90 and up, Stevie. 90 and up.
90 and up.
And I hasten to add, gentlemen, we had something called the Regents. Lee, you don't know what I'm talking about is, but you might know. We had something called the Regents. That was a big test administered by the state at the end of the year. Everybody had to take it. And in math, gentlemen, which a lot of sports writers, they can't, you know, you attempt four passes and you complete six, they have trouble figuring out what the percentage is. Most of these sports writers that I've been around, they're completely befuddled by numbers. And, you know, my wife and I are reading at night, and she looks over, and I got the NFL guide, and it's a page full of statistics, and she laughs at me. What the heck are you doing? You're looking at statistics. What is wrong with my husband? That's one of the many reasons she says that, but it's one of them. And I say, I got to know what I'm talking about, and I know what these numbers mean, and blah, blah, blah. So on these Regents, Stephen, let me just say quickly, algebra, 98. Trigonometry,
wow.
99. Intermediate algebra, 100. I rest my case, gentlemen. And then when I went to college, wait a minute. You echo what my parents were saying in 1970. Absolutely. Be a nice accountant, make a nice living. No, I've become a sports writer, and Steve's got me going to the Hall of Fame. We shall see. We'll see what kind of clout Isbitz has with some of these writers. But I've been able to use numbers to my benefit, mostly 38, 24, 36. But, gentlemen, I forgot the point I was making with these numbers. Isbitz, you must interrupt me at this point. I was talking about the Regents, and I did very well. 90 or better is an A, Steve. 90 or better.
All right, well, that tangent went so far off the rails that I'm just going to leave it at that. I won't even get to... to Lee and my...
That's how I'm feeling leading into this Saints game, Lee. I'm all psyched up. I'm all psyched up.
You're a very strange man, Ira. A very strange man. But you are very sane and very smart when you shop at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there first. It's just that simple. And you can find General Manager Sean Sullivan's email address there. And you can get online help or just send him a note. Say, hey, Sean, I'm looking to get out of my lease. I want to get into I'm thinking of a 2020 F-150. I saw one on your website. He's going to help you directly from the general manager. He'll give you a discount. He'll guide you. He's not going to beat you up and rip you off and all this stuff. It's just phenomenal what goes on at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. We love General Manager Sean Sullivan for how he treats everybody, not because he's the biggest Bucks fan we probably know. The poor guy is just in ecstasy now. I feel bad that he even has to go to work and can't just watch the film all day of his beloved Buccaneers.
You know he would.
Yeah, he would if he could. Ira, let me throw this past you. Let's see. Got my bag of tricks here. And all right, so let me throw this to you, Ira. Ali Marpet, concussion. Obviously, late Monday night game with the protocols. I don't know how they all work, but that means you lost a day. And he may not play. Do you expect Joe Haig to be the left guard? And what's the impact there?
I would absolutely expect Joe Haig to fill in a left guard. He played it quite a bit with the Colts and did more than hold his own. Another good pickup by the Buck front office as insurance. Again, I've said it before, guys. Nobody wants to acknowledge this. The Bucks have been incredibly, incredibly fortunate in terms of the health of their offensive line. I mean, it's almost unheard of that these guys are playing 15, 16 games a year as a group. That's unheard of. In the trenches, getting beat up. I'm not saying they're not getting injured, but they're playing through it. So here comes Marpet. This came out of nowhere. I just nominated Marpet for the unsung offensive hero for the first half of the 2020 season. I think he has been the Bucs' most effective offensive lineman. I think he's having the best season of his six-year career. And I think they're running behind him on crucial downs to great effect. Haig is a solid backup, but he's not Ali Marpet. That hurts a little bit. The Saints have a good front. You know, Davenport's starting to play well. They got Jordan, who is yet to be on track. And Wirfs handled him well week one, but it's Cameron Jordan. So the Saints got a good front. The Bucks need to be at full strength. I think Marpet hopefully will play. I think he's got a good chance of playing, but he's got to go through the protocols. Lee, this is where a Joe Haig comes into the picture as a nice pickup during the offseason.
So long as he does the job. He does the job.
But he's a proven vet, Lee. He's a proven vet. And as you like to say, you don't have any faith in guys until they've done it. So he's done it in this league, and he's been an efficient player. There'll be a drop-off if he has to play, but he's not a rookie coming in, Lee, where you don't have any track record.
That's true. And I know the Bucks like to run in between Marpet and Jensen.
And
so
Jensen,
I don't
yes,
know if
yes.
doing that very much if Marpet's not out there.
And I think Rojo needs to get back on his horse. You know, he's not on that three-game streak anymore with the 100 yards. The running game, I didn't think was very good at the Meadowlands. Fournette did a couple of nice things. But Jones has to run with authority, and I think it would really help in a game like Sunday's matchup.
And Ira, if Haig has a bad day, Light gets a B-. That's it, right there.
That's the way we do it at New Utrecht High School. The Flying Utes, the former home of Buddy Hackett, Robert Merrill, the opera singer, and a guy named Arnold Stang, who was a character actor in the 1950s. Right up your alley, Stevie.
way to go with the demographic of people that listen to podcasts, Ira.
Well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I include myself as a famous alumni, Lee. I'm right up there with
you. If you reference Buddy Ryan, half the audience is like, who? Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett, great comedian, Bush Belt comic, Steve. Went on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
All right,
Steve. Now you're going to say, nobody knows who Johnny Carson is. You know, Lee's living in the 90s. Lee's living in the 2000s. Yeah. AC/DC, Eddie Van Halen. You missed the whole classic rock era of the Kemper. I feel bad for you.
You missed it. I know about Greta Van Fleet. I know about Rob Zombie.
You know Greta Van Susteren. You may not know Greta Van Fleet.
I was waiting for you to use that. Can we come up with some more fewer references, Ira, of people in their 70s.
Steve, I'm trying to educate our listeners. You got to educate and illuminate and entertain. I rest my case.
All right, Ira. Well, you can...
Yeah, you go on Russo's show, you talk about some TV chick no one ever heard of.
That's because you don't watch CNN, DeKemper. Steve, you want to rescue this podcast, Steve? You want to rescue it?
Yeah, I'm going to try. Last night, Bruce Arians on SiriusXM NFL Radio with Bill Polian. He's usually a little more forthright with the man he calls coach versus the local media. And he revealed that Chris Godwin is starting to bend his finger a little bit, the one that was surgically repaired. And he said... He said the Bucs are working on some sort of customized splint. And then he repeated what he said to the local media that Friday is when he'll test it catching live passes. And he added, quote, knowing how tough the kid is and how he wants to play, I wouldn't put it past him. I got to say, Ira, Godwin has got to be dying to get on that field. He doesn't want Antonio Brown showing him up. He's going to be a free agent. He knows that this will be the biggest, most watched Sunday night football game probably of the season with these two legendary quarterbacks and the records and what's at stake. Godwin wants on that field. I'm not sure how I feel about that with a guy who just had finger surgery 10 days ago, but what's your take?
He's one tough hombre, and that's the way he plays, physical. And I think that's his attitude. And if they leave it up to Chris Godwin... he's suiting up and he's playing against the Saints, especially in a game of this magnitude. I don't think it would be wise to leave it up to Chris Godwin. I'm going to trust the doctors, Lee, on this one, and I don't want any chance that he could suffer a setback. Normally, I would say sit the guy, but this is a huge game, Lee, and I really think they missed Godwin at the Meadowlands, especially on third down, where the Bucs had been rolling along, and I think they were 4-12. 33.3%, Lee, for those that are mathematically challenged like yourself. One third on third downs, not very good. League average, probably about 37-38%. And the Giant defense is not the 76 Steelers. So I think Godwin is going to play. How effective he's going to be, I don't know. And great point by Isbit. Godwin, in his mind, he doesn't want to sit and see Antonio Brown catch four balls for 101 yards, including a 60-yarder. And then all of a sudden, going forward, Godwin's taking a back seat. So I would leave it up to the doctors, but I don't think you or I would be surprised if Godwin's out there, Lee.
Who is it? Was it Keyshawn Johnson? Or was it one of the guys on the NFL Network that came out and said watch Evans and Godwin get healthy real quick now that you got Brown on the team?
Yeah, I believe we do so much, Lee, I forgot. It might have been Brandon Marshall who said watch how healthy they get. Or no, I apologize. I believe it was Michael Irvin who said that. Watch how healthy they get in a hurry.
Usually I don't agree with Michael Irvin on anything. I think he's a buffoon. But I think you might have a point here, Lee.
It's like you, Ira, when you, not that you're a buffoon, but when you say that Donovan Smith, when he had a bad game, all of a sudden he shows up on the injury report with a knee. Classic. Yeah, one thing I wanted to put out there, just because I've gotten my share of emails on it, and I know there's a lot of thought process out there for what people think of Antonio Brown, and Lee posted his timeline of Brown, and a lot of fans have it on their mind. Of course, I've gotten my share of emails. I'm not watching the Bucs anymore because Antonio Brown, don't ask me to root for that guy. And I understand the sentiment. We heard it a lot with Jameis. But as far as the specifics of Brown, just for people who don't realize, he is serving 2 years probation in Florida for a Florida crime. He pled no contest as part of a plea deal to charges of burglary with battery, burglary of an unoccupied conveyance, and criminal mischief. And he didn't admit guilt, but he took the sentence, 100 hours of community service. His travel within the U.S. is restricted for work, and blah, blah, blah. So that's why he was suspended. The other stuff is still pending, but for people who don't realize, and it's possible, obviously I didn't dig into this to the extent, but it's possible that under this probation, he might have to continue living in Florida, which would make things interesting for the Bucks next year.
Well, that's no problem because Jeter's got 14 bedrooms and 21 bathrooms, Lee. So we're not a problem. Brown can set up shop over there.
No, what's going to be interesting is when Brady moves into his waterfront house in Clearwater, if Brown's going to be there or not.
Maybe Brown will rent out the Jeter mansion all by himself. He needs 9 rooms for his ego, Steve. 9 rooms for his ego.
I hope for Jeter's sake it doesn't come furnished.
Oh, boy.
Just on a human level, can you imagine the conversation Tom Brady has with Giselle saying, "Hey, honey, we're going to have Antonio Brown move in"? How does that go? I mean, like, in real life, how does that happen?
Does Giselle say, "Whatever you say, honey, whatever you say"? I mean, no, you're right. And there's kids. You know, there's kids involved, and the neighbors come over, and the friends, and hey, just like to introduce you to Antonio. He's a good man. Don't believe anything you're reading about him. It's all fake news. Well, the conversations around the dinner table are outstanding.
Hey, I got a needle, and I'm saying this 60% in jest. I love all our readers. Of course I love our readers. Come on, people in Davis Island, you're starting to slip. You didn't see Antonio Brown anywhere in the neighborhood? You didn't tip us off? Come on. Usually, Steve and I get all kinds of tips all the time about what players do and don't do out in the community. You know, and most of it's good natured. Most of it's really innocent. Like, hey, I saw so-and-so at the grocery at Publix or, saw, you know, whatever. Saw so-and-so while I was getting gas. And we know that people, you know, kind of apparently freaked out Brady that people were walking by his place. We know it did freak out Brady that people would stop their boats in front of his place, and he had to get Hillsborough County Sheriff's to stake the place out. He hired, Steve wrote that story. Maybe it was a City of Tampa boat, a police boat, a Marine unit he had to hire. But Antonio Brown moves in, nobody saw that, nobody tipped us off, come on.
And Steve, I think it's important for all of us to say that we're having some fun with this situation. It's not life and death, you know, but it's not like we're rooting against Antonio Brown, the three of us. If he can help the Bucks achieve their goals, we're all for it, Steve. We're not rooting against it, but at the same time, we acknowledge, you know, his foibles and his problems. We're not manufacturing them. It's a litany of things. He may not be out of the woods yet with the NFL from Park Avenue, but we're not rooting against Antonio Brown now that he's a Buccaneer, Steve.
No, not at all. He's wearing the jersey, and we want the team to win. And it is bizarre, though. And who knows where it's going to go, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Sage, before we get out of here, let me ask you this. This weekend, a couple of interesting games that are tied to the Bucks here. Very quick thoughts. Panthers head to your Chiefs. Panthers are 3-5. Their season is on the line. Any chance the Chiefs lose this game?
Well, I mean, they got walloped by the Raiders at home a few weeks ago. I still think the Panthers, I think they're slipping a little bit. I like Bridgewater. McCaffrey's coming back. That could help. Chiefs run defense, not very good, but I don't see the Panthers matching up with Mahomes. I think the Chiefs roll by 10 points.
Well, that could end the Panthers season right there. They've fallen to 3-6, which would be a good thing for the Bucs. Other big game, Ira, very interesting game. Big for the Bucks, wild card potential situation. Bears 5-3 at the Titans 5-2. They've lost 2 consecutive games. You think the Bears come out of this with a win?
I don't like the way the Titans are playing, gentlemen. I think their defense is lousy. It's lousy, and the Bears need to go against a lousy defense for them to score, more than 17 points. So, in that respect, I think Chicago's got every chance. You could argue they should have beat the Saints. They still play tough defense, Chicago. I think the Bears could go into Nashville and win that game.
All right. Now, Lee, we'll go around the horn with our official prediction since we haven't made them yet. We're all 6-2. As Javier has noted, may I note that Lee has picked the Bucks to win every single game this season. How about that, Ira? So, Lee, we'll let you go first as the voice of optimism, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I hope if people are listening in their cars, I hope they have their insurance paid, their premiums paid. They're listening at home. I hope they have their animals away from wherever they're at, and preferably, you know, women and children as well. I don't see it. I don't see the Bucks winning. I just don't. Like I said, I'm freaked out by that Monday night game. The Saints are just now getting healthy. I hope I'm dead wrong. I absolutely hope I'm dead wrong, but I see the Saints winning 31-27.
Sage, you want me to go next, or you want to go?
Yeah, go next, Steve.
And by the way, I got to break that three-way tie. That's why I figured you guys would pick the Bucks. So I
have to
break that three-way tie.
Lee has broken from his eight-game stretch of optimism. All right, Sage, here's how I see it. I look at Emmanuel Sanders coming off actually having COVID for a couple of weeks and talking about some of his, getting weakened by it. Michael Thomas, if he comes back, he hasn't played forever, and he's a bit of a head case. So I just don't think the Saints are going to be firing on all cylinders, and I think they really need to do that to beat the Bucs. I just think the Bucs are going to put up the points, and they'll find a way to just have more. So I'm just going to go 31-28. That's it. Buccaneers win.
Tom Brady is not going to lose to the same division rival twice. Not going to happen. Saint defense, I think, is underperforming. Bucs have been waiting for this game for weeks, and I think they're going to flex their muscles as the best team in the division. I like them 34-20. Saints will get theirs with Kamara. He's that good. You know, you would think you could stop a guy on you focus all your energies, but nobody's been able to do it, really. So the Saints will score their 20 points. Bucks will score their 34. And when the smoke clears Sunday evening, the Bucks will have a stranglehold on the NFC South.
All right, Sage, your wisdom has always been impressive, and it continues to impress us here. Your podcast available, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Google Podcasts, other platforms. All right, Ira, people got a long weekend waiting for this game. Any last thought for them on what they should be doing on Saturday, on Sunday, or just life in general?
Well, just on a personal note, gentlemen, Sunday is our anniversary. Sunday is our anniversary. 39 glorious years with the same woman. Izbitz, I can only hope that you're going to reach that as far as the Kemper's concerned. I'm looking at 2 years maximum, but 39 in my case, gentlemen. It's been a blast. We're going to celebrate Saturday night at an undisclosed restaurant. of course, normally we would go out Sunday, but there's a little event going on Sunday evening that I'm going to be glued to my set. So we're going to do it Saturday night. And I want to salute my marvelous partner, Carrie. And we're going to be watching the Buck game together and pumping our fists on Sunday evening.
And let's just hope on
Clear, we live in Florida. Partner means something as a loaded word.
I understand. I understand.
Your wife.
Leave it to DeKemper to cast aspersions on a fantastic marriage. You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, No. I just know the environment we live in and the vernacular of the day. I get it. I understand that. You know, it's like whenever I go back home, I always got to tell when I refer to Steve, I always have to preface that my business partner. And someone asked me, like, why do you always have to say that? I said, well, if I say partner, it means something else.
You know, guys, I'm so fortunate that I have self-confidence and I'm not a brooder. Because so many times, including going past the Glazer table at the NFL meetings many times, and Joel and Brian looking at me and my wife and saying to my wife, how the heck do you put up with this guy? It happens all the time, including the Glazers. I think Dirk Cutter said it to her. Light has said it to her a couple of times. You know, a lesser man would be brooding in his basement, but not me, gentlemen, not me.
Well, Ira, I'll leave you with this. Let's hope that on Saturday night, you're not reading statistics in bed. All right, that was a lot of fun. We want to remind you that Ira himself is in the flesh for every single Buccaneers road game at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater at the tap room. He's usually there 2 hours before each game, and he watches the game all the way through with loads of fired up Bucks fans. It's a great, great atmosphere. Fully covered open air outdoor area, 3,000 square feet at Big Storm. Lots of distancing, lots of fresh air. It's a fantastic environment. It's new, great sound, great views, awesome. And of course, their indoor tap room is amazing. And they've got a fantastic menu you can check out at BigStormBrewery.com. But it is all about the beer. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. You can get it all over the Bay Area and across the state and beyond. And find your beer at BigStormBrewery.com, and it'll tell you where you can purchase it in your neighborhood at awesome liquor stores and other establishments that sell beer. You can just punch in your zip code and find Big Storm near you. So we appreciate them, Big Storm, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and our thanks continue to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, and Florida's Elite Restoration, your first call whenever you see mold, think you have mold, or have any disaster in your home, Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
You got to educate and illuminate and entertain.